Good morning, everybody. I'm so excited to be with you in your home this morning. You know, the Lord told us to build a house of prayer. Well, that's what we're doing today. Your house, my house, every house be a place of prayer today. And I'm just excited for what God is doing. We had an incredible prayer meeting Friday night, and we're just going to keep moving forward with what God has told us to do. And I want to give a shout out to Kathy Stone. You seen her in that picture just a minute ago. Today is her birthday, and we're excited to be able to celebrate with her. And I also want to shout out to Ann Redding and Martin Tan as they have birthdays this week. So happy birthday to you guys. We're excited for you. And I know things have been changing rapidly, and we've been ordered home by the governor. But it does not mean we can't have church. Amen. Because we are the church. So we don't have to be in a specific building. We can be the church everywhere we go. Many years ago, the Lord told me, he said, your pulpit is everywhere you're at. And so right now, my pulpit's come to your home, and I pray that you're going to take a minute and you're going to share this with down your line so that people can check in. You know, we had almost 2,000 views on our prayer meeting the other night, and that's very exciting. You know, where we usually have 10 to 12 at the prayer meeting on Friday nights, now, you know, we have almost 2,000 people checking in and seeing the video. So it's very exciting what God's doing. So I want to just get going and just share with what we have for you today. We're all getting to spend more time with our families, and it's a good thing. Now, we've been praying for a prayer back in schools. We've been praying for the Bible to be back in schools. So this is a great opportunity, parents, for you to bring prayer back to school, for you to bring the Word of God to your teaching of your children. So don't miss out on this opportunity. Don't think of it as a burden. Think of it as a blessing. You don't have other people inputting to your kids right now. This is a great opportunity for you to input into your children. We have packets at the church that you can pick up. I know, you know, we can make it available if you just text me at 951-235-7914 that you want to pick up at the church. I'll make sure it's available for you. And we're still trying to keep our food bank running. So if you need food and you have needs, please let us know. We want to do all that we can to help and encourage you today. So that takes us today up into our message. You know, while I'm speaking, if you have a prayer request, you see at the bottom of your screen right now, you can call or text. I prefer you just text that. Your prayer request to that, or you can put it right here on the Facebook live cast. You can put your prayer request. And at the end of the message today, we will pray for you. And so stay engaged and, you know, fill your coffee cup, kick your feet up this morning, and let's get into the word today. Amen. The title of my message today is part two of Who is God? Who is God? It is so important that we know who he is in our lives, and what he wants to do in us. Amen? So I'm going to read. I'm not going to make you stand today unless you want to. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 12 through 14. And it reads out of the New King James Version. It says, then the Lord appeared. It's talking about God's second appearance to Solomon. It says, then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come into this time of your word and sharing, Father, I pray that our hearts would be open wide to receive your word today, God. That, Lord, there'd be a great turning around in our lives today. Lord, that we would draw closer to you. You said if we draw close to you, you'll draw close to us. Lord, let this be a time of drawing close to you, Father, that, Lord, our hearts would be touched today by the power of God, that, Lord, the victory, as we've even sang about today, would be ours, God. Victory is ours in the name of Jesus. Let your word challenge us today, Father God. Cause us to grow in who you are. And, Lord, we glorify you and exalt you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Hallelujah. In this hour, you know, people are looking for a prescription for the cure of COVID-19. I just read it to you. It's not something far off. It's not up in heaven that we have to go up and get it. It's not across the sea that we have to send someone to go get it. We have what it takes for the healing and for the killing of this virus. It's just that not everybody wants to do it. We'd rather do our own thing and keep playing games than to go to God and ask for it. But the thing that God is asking for is right there with you. As a matter of fact, if you're a believer in Jesus, the answer is in you. Everything, though, will be determined by your response to the Lord. I remember way back many years ago when I used to smoke cigarettes. I smoked 2 to 3 packs of cigarettes a day. And I came to the altar that one Sunday and I asked the Lord to take it away. And the next day, I was driving to work and I reached for a pack of cigarettes and the Holy Spirit came on me in the car. And he said, "You don't have to do this anymore. You've been set free." Oh, I received that word. And it went deep inside of me. I had to pull over because I began to cry so hard. I began to glorify God. And as I finally could compose myself, when I went on to work, I threw all my cigarettes away. And I have never smoked again. I've never had a desire to smoke again. I received the word he delivered to me. I was and I am free. Amen. And our response to the Lord means a lot. Take a little drink here. We all know that in America, we've had a lot of junk come forth, a lot of sin. You know, good has become bad, bad is becoming good. And now it's even promoted from a very young age in our school systems. See, now your kids are not under that influence. Praise God if they have to stay home the rest of this school year, because you can fill them with the doctrine of the Word of God. You can overflow. Right now, Lucia had posted on Facebook a demonstration for your children. When we're done here, you can watch it. If you got kids, you can let your kids watch it on Facebook so that your kids are being ministered to. She's going to do more. I'm going to do more. We're going to do more teaching so that we can grow in the Lord. Amen? You know, and we've stood up and we've fought against God. Maybe, you know, let me reword this. We've stood up and fought, but maybe not like we should have against the things that have come into our lives. We've not bowed down like maybe we should have on our knees praying for God to intervene in all these situations of things that have been happening. But here we are today. Pestilence is in the land. It's in the world. But no virus is as great as our God. Yes, people are dying. People are getting sick. But God is still God. Now, don't ever question that. God is who he is. He is God. He's sovereign. You might be asking, why would a loving God allow this to go on? That's a good question. And I have an answer for you today. Let's just say that a man beats his wife every day and rejects her. And he commits adultery by going out with other women or men, and he flaunts it in front of her. He does what he wants, and then one day she's had enough, and he realizes that he's about to lose her. And he says he's sorry, and he begs forgiveness. And he stays, she stays, and for a while he's good. And for a while it's all good. He did all he could to love her, but he really didn't change his heart. And he slowly reverted back to his old ways till she had to get away from him or she knew she would die. Now let's just take a minute and look back at our history in the U.S. the last few years. September 11th, 2001, Twin Towers in New York were attacked by terrorists and those buildings went down. 3,000 dead, 25,000 people injured. It was a Tuesday. I still remember it. I still remember at my business watching the TVs and thinking they were replaying of another of the plane crashing into it, but yet it was another one crashing into the other building. I was in shock as I was working, and I just couldn't believe it, what was happening right before my eyes. That Sunday, Pastor Dave, our pastor at that time, walked up to me and said, "I believe you have the anointing of an evangelist. Go and preach." And I went to the pulpit and preached. The church was packed, man. The balcony was packed. The seats, there was, you know, standing room only. And it, and as I preached, people came to the altars and they gave their life to Jesus. Both services that we did that day, it was a great day. But after a few months, those same people started to drift away. I prayed and I asked God, why are they stopping to come? And he told me that when your foundation is fear, that is sinking sand and it won't stand. See, we've got to come to Jesus because we need him. Amen. He said, then you come to 2008 and we have the housing market crash. Oh my gosh. People were losing their homes and things were going crazy and the market was falling and people were losing jobs and stuff. Things were shutting down. It was crazy time. We were all financially strained, you know, so much of the giving was stopped by people because they were losing so much. And but people prayed and God intervened and helped people save their homes. But things calmed down and returned to semi-normal. And then they begin to fade away from the church again. And then now, in the last few years, we've had all these viruses pop up. And we come to God for the protection. And then when it's over, we don't stay committed to him. It's like we make foxhole prayers, and a foxhole prayer is when you're in war and you're dug in and you're in your foxhole and bullets are flying everywhere. And some of you men that have been in battle before, you know what that means. You're in that foxhole and bullets are flying around you and you're praying to God, God, you get me out of this and I'll serve you. God, you get me out of this, I'll preach for you. And I know people have been making foxhole prayers. They're saying, God, if you protect me, I'll serve you. Well, don't make it a foxhole prayer. Make it a lifestyle. Make it a prayer for your life to come, amen, that you're not going to quit. You're not going to give up. You're going to continue. You're going to stay the course. You're going to go with God all the time. Amen. That from now, this day forward, you're going forward with God. Oh boy, I feel that anointing. God's getting me riled up again. Oh, but today this passage, I read you the prescription for what God has for you in these situations. And number one, I want to tell you is humble yourself before God. And to humble yourself means to properly bend the knee, to vanquish, to bring down in subjection, to come under, to be humble. It means to come under the leadership of God, to have a change of heart in that you recognize you need Jesus in your life every day, not just when things are tough, good times and bad, we need him, amen? That to come under his authority and stop trying to do things on our own and to listen to him. I obey him, his word written and his spoken word, because he's still talking. We become a part of who he is. It's not him trying to fit into our lives. It's our lives being into submission under him, amen, and his way of doing things. As I said, this is a forever commitment, not just a foxhole prayer. It's a complete change of heart. It's like a heart transplant. We are no longer the same because we go further than just saying we're sorry for what we've done and allowed. We have a change of heart. In humility, we, number two, pray. We need to pray in good times and in bad. Oh, we need to connect with God and our desire to have him in our lives. Our praying should be filled with humility, for with praise for who he is. We should declare his mighty works. Hallelujah. Then we can petition him. Amen. And after we petition him, we should rejoice that he has heard us. Amen. We should come with a spirit of rejoicing, a spirit of thanksgiving in our hearts, that when we call out to God, he hears us. Amen. He hears us. And as we go to him, don't pray in a ho-hum way. Don't pray with your phone in your hand. Don't pray with the computer. You know, pray with your spirit. Get on your knees and humble yourself before him. Pray with an intensity in your heart that you need him, calling on the creator of heaven and earth to help you. Amen. James 5:16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offenses. And I'm reading it out of the Amplified. And pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. The heartfelt, here it is, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, a believer, can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. The Lord has asked us to build him a house of prayer. Let that be your home. It's not just at a church building. I believe this is a great opportunity to soar with Jesus. But when you pray, pray with a desperation, with an intensity in your heart. You need him. Pray like your life depends on it. Don't let up. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit burn in you with a passionate desire for who he is, for his way of doing things, and his way of being right. Amen? And as you pray, prayer is a big part of seeking his face. Number three, seek his face. I love the scripture. Delonda read it the other night at the prayer meeting. Matthew 6:33, but I love it out of the Amplified. Matthew 6:33. But first, and most importantly, aim at, strive after his kingdom, his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God. And all these things will be given to you also. And when he says all these things, he's talking about what you eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink. You read it there, Matthew chapter 6, 24 through the end in verse 34. And you'll just see what God has intended for your life. Amen. That you don't have to worry today. What we need to do is seek God's way. Seek his face. The keys to seeking God is seeking after and finding out God's way of doing things. How does God do things? How does God react to things? What is God's way of doing things? What does he tell us in his word on how we should act? We need to find out. You have time. You have more time now. Unplug from the games, from the TV, and spend time in your word every day. You know, if you remember WWJD, what would Jesus do? We need to know how Jesus would handle situations and do that. What would he say? What would he do? By reading the word of God and applying it to your life, you will get in it as you see how you should be in all these circumstances that's going on. It'll be clear to you. You won't be wondering. But if you don't seek, if you don't pray, you don't humble yourself, then you'll continue in your own ways. Then you'll wonder why you don't feel close to God. You'll wonder why you don't feel that peace and that safety and protection. You have to go after it. And also look for ways that God is right. Look for his righteousness in his word and take it into you. Take it into your heart. Don't just read to say you read through the Bible. Read it to apply it. Amen. Read it for takeaways for your life. Takeaways are on every page, every scripture. There's something to take away for you to grow in God and to seek his face. As we do this, our attitude, our character will change to be more like Jesus. That's what we want. We want his attitude, his character. Amen. We want his way of doing things, his way of being right, to be alive inside of each one of us. Let it bubble up in you. And as we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, let's turn from our wicked ways. Don't settle with, oh, I'm pretty good, or nobody's perfect. Don't sell Jesus short. He, today and every day, is our perfecter. He is our perfecter. Who is God? He is our perfecter. Everybody say it. Perfecter. As we grow in Christ, we will turn away from evil we've been doing. We will not allow things in our life that we allowed yesterday. Those shows, those movies, we'll say, oh, how did I ever watch this? Now, it's a process, but it's a growth process. The word declares that we're working out our salvation daily. So daily, work out your salvation. Daily, grow in Jesus Christ. It's continually searching our heart so that we're not offending the Holy Spirit by our words and actions. Repentance is turning away from sin, our wicked ways, and not returning to them when this thing is lifted. It's staying the course. It's not just saying, I'm sorry. It's a heart change, a transformation, a reformation of our lives. That's what we need. These four things work together. All working together is what will break the COVID-19 threat. If God's people who will do that, the virus will be destroyed. How can I say that so confidently? How can I look into this screen today and say that to you confidently? Because his word says so. Look at the end of verse 14. He says, then I will hear from heaven. Oh, this is God talking to you right now. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Number 5, he will hear from heaven. Hallelujah. God the Father will listen to our prayers. Amen. That's what we need. We need him to incline his ear towards us and listen to us. Amen. That's what we need. I don't want my prayers to fall on deaf ears. I'm lined up with God that when I pray, I believe he hears me. I believe he's responding. Amen. I believe that when we get together, that any two agree on any one thing, it will be done. Amen. That God is going to destroy this COVID-19 and it'll be a non-issue in the days ahead. Hallelujah. Oh, do you agree with me today? I want God to hear my heart as I express it to him, amen, in his power, in his might, to come to your home today in the name of Jesus. And as we do that, as he hears from heaven, he's forgiving our sin. The other night I repented for our national sins. And as I began to repent for things that nationally we've allowed through the years, the things that we've taken out, the things that we've allowed in, you know, I begin to see people dropping off from our prayer meeting, and somebody put something very vulgar on our as a comment on our prayer meeting, you know, because the sins of our nation they're dreadful, and it's opened the door to this junk, and I want it closed. We need to repent, which, as I've already said, is turning away from our sins and moving in the direction that God has for us. I can't control the whole nation. The only thing I have a say over is me. And I've repented. I've asked God to forgive me of my sins. And I feel that cleansing power of God in my life. That I'm not the same. But every day I'm being renewed. Every day I'm being revived. Every day I'm restored. Every day I'm growing in Christ Jesus. And I'm not going to be like a dog returning to my vomit. I'm going to go forward in Jesus Christ. And I'm leaving, you know, as the word says, old things are passed away and all things become new. Let it become new with you today. Don't stay stuck. Don't stay stuck. Don't stay stuck. Cry out to God. Receive his forgiveness today. Now, according to the Bible, 7 is the number of completeness. And I believe in this 7-step process, yeah, that it's going to bring a complete victory to our land, because number 7 today is he will heal our land. He will heal our land. There it is. There it is. The healing that we need today. And we need the whole earth to be healed. The whole earth needs to be healed from this virus. And the key is the whole world turning to God. Turning to God. As I said, we can't control the whole world, but we control our own world. Amen. Our personal lives. We can allow God to perfect us as our perfecter. Or we can just go along with what's happening and hope that it doesn't get to us. And I have hope in Jesus Christ. I have a confident expectation of God's promise, provision, and character. So my hope in Jesus is that you and me would go through these 7 steps today. And that we'd allow the Spirit of God to come to us and to touch our lives today. And that we could avoid the consequences that are going to come. At the beginning, I said it's determined by your response to the word as to your outcome. What will be your response today? Will you humble yourselves and pray and seek the Lord's face and turn from your wicked ways so that God can respond as according to your word, that he will hear from heaven, that he'll forgive your sin, and that he'll heal our land? I ask that you would pray with me right now. We can all pray in our homes right now. Let's humble ourselves before you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Father God, let's humble ourselves before the Lord and cry out to him for deliverance from this pandemic. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today. And Lord, we repent, God, of our sins, Father. We humble ourselves before you, Father God. Lord, I pray that you just forgive us right now for the wrongness in our hearts and in our attitudes and in our words, God. That, Lord, you wash us and cleanse us with the blood of Jesus. And that, Lord, that today freedom would come to every person, Lord, that's watching this right now, Father. That, Lord, that you touch their lives, God. That, Lord, they would know the peace of God. They would know the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah, God. Lord, do a supernatural work today in our lives, Father God. Lord, there's no distance for the Holy Spirit. You are here. You are with us. And we glorify you, God. We glorify you, God. Oh, we exalt you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Just let it flow right now, God. We make our house a house of prayer today, God. And we lift you up, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing in our lives, God. We thank you that you're hearing from heaven today, God. That you're forgiving our sin. And, Lord, that you're bringing healing to our land, Father. We pray right now today. Day for the world, God. We pray, Father God, that there be a great turning in the world today. And I pray that many people will see this video. Many people will log in and watch, God, and their lives will be changed, God. That there'll be a surrendering to you. I pray with all the videos going out over the live cast today, all over the world, that, Lord, that we can reach more, do more, infect more people with the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That we're transforming the world today. You said that that the king gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world, and then you shall come. Let the gospel go forth, Father. Let the airwaves be just filled with the Spirit of the living God, Lord, and let the Holy Spirit, you said in my last days, the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh. I pray today that there's a great outpouring in this world, Father God, that your glory would just fill the earth. Hallelujah. The way your glory filled that temple that we read about today, Solomon at the temple, God. Your glory filled the earth that day, and it was supernatural. No one could stand in your presence, God. Pour out your Spirit, Father, upon the land. We glorify you and exalt you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we glorify you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I don't know if we have any prayer requests, but if we have some prayer requests, they're going to. I don't see them here, but. Yeah, I prayed that. Father, I just thank you for your protection over the world. Protect, Father God, the people. Protect your people, God. And I pray for your mercy and grace on those that don't believe yet, God. That your mercy and grace would come to them, Father, and they would know you. Hallelujah. Yo, praise Jesus. You know, we're still moving forward. We still have things we need to pay. We had to send people home, but I know you want your staff covered. I know you don't want them to not be able to pay their bills. And so at the bottom of the screen is a text to give. You can go to newhopefwc.com. That's on your screen right there. And at the bottom of the front page, you can go in and give. Right now at the church till 2 o'clock, the gate is open. You can go there. And if you go upstairs by the office door, there's a mail slot right there. You can drop your tithes in that mail slot if you want to drop a check off. You know, and we thank God for your faithfulness. You guys are so faithful. You're so wonderful. We don't want to have to stop supporting our missionaries in this time. We just had a great commitment to give to missions more than we've been doing. And so I'm excited for that. We still have our home in Africa, our orphanage home. We have our pastors there. And so I praise God for you. I thank God, and I'm praying for your blessing, that your provision would be taken care of. The Word of God declares that my God shall supply all our need according to His riches and glory. So I'm standing with you in agreement for your jobs, for your provision today. And so I thank you for watching with us today. Before you check out today, take a moment and share it down your line.